Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
And as we take on a little bit more every day the mind of God, we will begin to see death perhaps from His perspective. How does God look at this thing?
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
I believe God has a plan for you today. My name is David, Truth Seekers. Thank you for that introduction, brother. And this is Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. And we are excited to be with you today, no matter where you are or what venue of media that you are listening to us from or through. God bless you. And God, we ask for your blessings on everything that takes place in the next 30 minutes. If you've been with us lately, and I pray that you have, I hope that you have, we have been dealing with the topic of grief and presenting to you a study that God gave me on grief that I've entitled In the Grip of Grief. This is the fifth installment and the last installment, unless God changes my mind or we just have another show's worth of stuff to talk about. But I'm going to try to conclude this today. If you have not been with us over the last 5 weeks, then you've got an opportunity to catch up. If what you hear today is a blessing to you and you want to know more about what's been going on the last few weeks, then you go to truthinfusion.com. That's the website for our ministry. And at truthinfusion.com, you're going to find information about the ministry, where we're going in the next few months and what's planned, some of the upcoming projects that we're working on. You can find out about some of the music stuff that I've been up to and the band, the worship band, the quartet that I sing with. Some of the events we've got coming up, some of the places we'll be preaching, revivals we've got scheduled. But you can also go to the radio page, and you can see what stations we are currently airing on, and you can also check out all of the previous radio programs. So there's your opportunity to catch up with this topic and this teaching that we've been dealing with in the grip of grief. So like I've said, fifth and last installment, what I want to do today is I want to end on a high note. I want to end on an encouraging note. And we spent last week discussing in more detail God's plan, God's scriptural and spiritual plan to help you overcome the grip and the stranglehold that grief applies to us as humans. Just because we're Christians does not mean that we can we don't have the overwhelming problem that grief brings to the human life, because like I've explained and taught through the last few weeks, we don't have internally what it takes to deal with and rationalize and muddle through grief. It is something that we don't naturally have. Why? Basically because of this. God did not place within us the ability to deal with grief, because He never intended grief to be an emotion that the human, that mankind, rather, has to deal with, because He didn't create us to die. He didn't create Adam to die, nor Eve. And if He did not create us to die, then He didn't have in mind for us to have to deal with death. And if that is the case, then I conclude from that that grief was never intended. And if grief was never intended, why would God place inside of our being something to naturally deal with grief and death if He never purposed for us to do that? So, if it's not a natural means by which we can handle it, then it must come from supernatural means. And so last week was really dealing with the scriptural idea that the plan that God has, plan B, in other words, from God, because plan A we did away with the introduction of sin into the world. So his plan B for dealing with grief, for dealing with loss and death and mourning in your life and in my life, can't be a natural plan, has to be a supernatural plan, and the paraclete is the answer. And that's what we discussed last week. The paraclete, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, when he is given full range and full latitude to work in your heart and life, then he brings the supernatural ability for us to overcome what naturally we cannot do and deal with. Amen? So that was, in a very brief synopsis, the last 4 weeks. Of course, we dealt with that in a much more detailed sense, so that's why I encourage you to look those up. So what I want to do today is I want to take us into the view of death, but I want us to maybe see it. I want us to see it from a different perspective. You see, I think that we need to change our perspective when it comes to death. And here's the visual I want you to have. Climb up a mountain. Get to the very top. It's an amazing point of view, isn't it? When you are at the base of the mountain and you are looking straight ahead at the mountain, the point of view is what it is. You're looking at rock, gravel, dirt, maybe some grass, maybe some trees, but your perspective is somewhat tunnel visioned at that time, because that great mountain that is in front of you, it takes up your whole vision, and really it's so vast that you can't see much except for the part that's right there in front of you. You've heard the old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. But when you climb up that mountain and you reach the top, my goodness, but does your perspective change? Different point of view now, isn't it? I contend that there are some different points of view that we might be able to take concerning grief in general, but specifically perhaps the situation that you are dealing with right now. And so what I want to do for the rest of this, this last installment of this teaching, is I want to show you death from a different perspective. I want us to identify the perspective. So I'm going to throw a few different things at you. First of all, let's look at pain's perspective. Let's look at that. A couple of shows ago, I recited a verse for you, and I want to do that again. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." Now listen to this. "Who comforts us in all our tribulation." Okay? Why, Paul? Why, Paul? He gives us an answer immediately. "That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now that's a mouthful. Let me say it again. God who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I think there's a purpose in the pain. There's a perspective that we can draw from even the pain that we are struggling with. I recall a verse in Romans chapter 8 that says, "And we know that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose." That's one that we're all familiar with. Now, how does that work with the idea of pain? You see, I know in Romans chapter 8, when he says that all things work together for good, if you study in Greek right there, the Greek word study, all things, you know what it really means? It means all things. Okay? Everything's included. Nothing is excluded. So the pain that you are overwhelmed with right now, I'm telling you that if Scripture is true, and I lean on the fact that it is, that even the pain you're dealing with, God desires to use for purpose. For what purpose? You see, God does not comfort us, as this verse above told us, in our pain, just to ease our pain. Now, does he comfort us so that we have release from the pain? Absolutely. Why? He's a good father. He's a good daddy God. And so, of course, he wants to soothe your pain so that you have relief from your pain. But I think the purpose is greater than that. You see, his purpose is not just to soothe your pain, but it's to give you understanding and compassion and the ability to minister to others that are struggling within the grip of grief, their circumstances, their struggle, the grip of grief that they are in. Maybe we need to change our perspective. See, the plan of God is never singular. It's never one-sided. It's always much more complex than that. His plan for you is not just about you. It's not just for you. In fact, it is very little of it is. God's plan for you is much broader than that. It's for the world, in fact. His purpose for you is not just to affect your life, but so that you can affect others. And let me go back to a thought that we discussed last week. The Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is the true source of healing. That's what we discussed last week. Again, go listen to the show from last week at the website if you haven't heard it. But his ministry, as we spoke of last time, is to express Jesus to us and to express Christ through us. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not only is our pain assuaged, but also we become ministers of healing instead of reservoirs of pain. Let me show you that from this verse I read you in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, and mostly verse 4. Now you watch this. Let me see if you can follow me around a little bit so that I can show you the neat thing about word studies in the Bible. Let me show you here. Five times in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the word comfort is used. All right, I'm going to read this again. I want you to count with me. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There's one. Who comforts to us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort, 3, those who are in any trouble with the comfort, 4, with which we ourselves are comforted, 5, by God. Okay? Five times in those two verses the word comfort is used. Two times it's a noun. Three times it's used as a verb. Okay, don't let me lose you here. I want to show you something kind of neat. In the Greek, the noun comfort is the word paraklesis. Paraklesis, okay? When comfort in the Greek is used as a noun, it's paraklesis. When comfort is used as a verb, it's parakaleo. So the noun comfort, the thing, the entity of comfort is paraklesis. But when we comfort someone, or when we are comforted, now that is parakaleo. You with me? Okay. The same root word is the root word that Jesus used when he described the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. That word is paraclete. So the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. Now watch this. When the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is free to work in your life, he will administer paraklesis to you. Now that's the verb, supernatural comfort. The paraclete will administer into your hurt, into your pain, into your grief, paraklesis, supernatural comfort. Okay, and that's great. And then we are comforted, and then we have our pain relieved. Then, that's what this verse told us, we will be able to become ministers of healing, ministers of comfort to those in the grip of grief. And we will do it by, watch this, parakaleoing their life, comforting their life. Wow, that is a mindful of thought right there. The paraclete offers us paraklesis so that we may become ministers of parakaleo. Perspective of pain is this. God wants to use your pain once he's brought you through it to allow you the opportunity to comfort others that are dealing with the same kind of pain. Isn't that wonderful? God wants to use you to be a minister even through this dark hour that you're going through. So that's pain's perspective. Let me throw a different one at you. What about looking at grief from the Heavenly Father's perspective? Once we find ourselves experiencing this sanctifying ministry of the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about, and then we see ourselves becoming channels of healing for other people, ministers of that comfort that we received. Well, really what happens through sanctification is we begin to take on the mind of the Spirit, which the Spirit is God. So we could also say we begin to take on a little here and a little there, the mind of God. And as we take on a little bit more every day, the mind of God, we will begin to see death perhaps from His perspective. How does God look at this thing? Now, I know when you're in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of death, in the middle of grief, then the perspective is very fleshly, it's very human, because our life's in a struggle. But God doesn't ever look at things from that perspective. He looks at it from His perfect spiritual perspective. And what if we began to take on the mind of Christ? I wonder what God's perspective is. Well, Revelation chapter 14, verse 13 says this, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." In other words, they're blessed from now on. "Yes," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labors and their works may follow them." Pretty words, beautiful words, comforting words. Blessed are those that die in the Lord, not just for a moment, but from now on. "Yes," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labor." Rest from their labor. I want to show you God's perspective in a special way. I love this. I love this. This is what I'm about to share with you. When I first heard this poem, I wept. Really, several times I've wept. 100 years ago or so, a pastor wrote this and offered this at a funeral for one of his congregants. And I heard it first recited by Wintley Phipps. If you've never heard Wintley Phipps speak, he has the voice of God. It's just like an amazing baritone, awesome, powerful voice. And he recited this, and when he did, I was just blown away. I was just blown away. And I've used this in funerals and other circumstances before. Let me give you God's perspective on death in a pretty neat way. This is called "Go Down, Death." Now, listen to this. "Weep not. Weep not. She is not dead. She is resting in the bosom of Jesus. Heartbroken family, weep no more. Grief-stricken church, weep no more. She's only just gone home. Day before yesterday morning, as God was looking down from His great high heaven, looking down on all His children, His eyes fell on Sister Caroline, tossing on her bed of pain. And God's big heart was touched with pity, with everlasting pity. And God sat back on His throne, and He commanded that tall, bright angel standing at His right hand, 'Call me Death.' And that tall, bright angel cried in a voice that broke like a clap of thunder, 'Call Death! Call Death!' And the echo sounded down the streets of heaven till it reached away back into that shadowy place where Death waits with his pale white horses. And Death heard the summons, and he leaped on his fastest horse, pale as a sheet in the moonlight. and up the golden streets death galloped, and the hooves of his horse struck fire from the gold, but it didn't make no sound. Up death rode to the great white throne, and there he waited for God's command. And God said, "Go down, death. Go down, down into Savannah, down into Yamacraw, and find Sister Caroline. She has borne the burden of the heat of the day. She has labored long in my vineyard, and she's tired, or she's weary. Go down, death, and bring her to me." And death didn't say a word. But he loosed the reins on his pale white horse, and he clamped the spurs to his bloodless sides, and out and down he rode through heaven's pearly gates, on past suns and moons and stars, on death road, leaving the lightning flash behind. Straight down he came. And while we were watching round her bed, she turned her eyes, and she looked away, and she saw what we could not see. She saw old death. She saw death coming like a falling star. But death didn't frighten Sister Caroline. No, he looked to her as a welcome friend. And she whispered to us, "I'm a-going on." And she smiled and closed her eyes. And death reached down and took her up like a baby. And she lay in his icy arms, but she didn't feel no chill. And death turned and began to ride again, up beyond the evening star, into the glittering light of glory, on to the great white throne, and there death laid Sister Caroline in the loving arms of Jesus. And Jesus took his own hands, and he wiped away her tears, and he smoothed the furrows from her face. And the angels sang a little song. And Jesus rocked her in his arms. And he kept us saying, "Take your rest. Take your rest. Weep not. Weep not. She is not dead. She is resting in the bosom of Jesus." Isn't that beautiful? I love it. I love it because it gives me perhaps a better glimpse into the perspective of our Heavenly Father when it comes to the passing of one of His children from one world into the next. Psalms 116:15 says this, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." And I hope that maybe you see that from a different perspective now. I just love that poem. Well, one more thing. Let me throw one more idea at you. One more perspective that if you're a child of God, I know that you know this, but it's easy for us to lose sight. How about resurrection? The resurrection's perspective. Romans 8:11 says this, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." You see, guys, 2,000 years ago, Jesus defeated death and the grave. Ultimately, the victory that he experienced will be the same victory that we will experience. In that day, hallelujah, the grip of grief will be loosed forever. However, in order that you might ensure that you partake in that resurrection victory, you must know him like I know him. I wonder if you ever ask yourself this question. What could you have said to Lazarus after the great story we know of him? What could you possibly have said to Lazarus to frighten him? History says that Lazarus stood before the Roman emperor Caligula. And Caligula, hating the Christians, was one of the great persecutors of the first generation church. Lazarus stood before him and Caligula said, "I'm going to kill you." Lazarus laughed. "Ha ha ha," he said. Caligula said, "I'm serious. I'll kill you just like I've killed all these other Christians." Lazarus laughed harder. I mean, what do you say to a guy that's already experienced death? What do you tell him? Do you tell him, I'm gonna burn down your house? I'm gonna cut up your credit cards? What? Caligula said, "I'll kill you." Lazarus bends over laughing, comes back up and says, "Caligula, haven't you heard? Death is dead. Death is dead." He could say that because Lazarus knew personally the one that could walk straight into death and pick him up and set him free. He had experienced it. And if you know Jesus the way I know Jesus, not only can you walk away from the grip of grief, not only can you have freedom again and victory over the overwhelming emotion that is grief and mourning, but when death knocks on your door, you can say like Lazarus, "Ha, ha, ha, I don't have to be afraid. Death is dead. Death is dead." I pray that you know him like I know him. And if you do, then perhaps you have experienced that same resurrection deep inside you. Well, I pray these last few weeks have been a blessing to you. If you know someone that needs to hear this teaching, send them to the website. Tell them to listen to all those programs in full. Until next time, I pray that you let the Holy Spirit in to do what only He can do. What you can't do natural, He can do. What you can't do, God can do. God bless you, truth seekers. I'll see you next week. And until next time, you know what you got to do. You know what you got to do. You keep seeking the truth. God bless you.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.